Just please pretend I'm wearing sunglasses. I'm doing my best. Yeah, please.
Yeah, let's get some sunglasses up here.
Thank you.
The true queen.
What time is it? Are we?
We got two.
Straight over my glasses so I can see all of your beautiful faces.
I can kind of see my phone now.
Nice.
This is good.
That's good.
You can look at this. Yeah. Oh, fuck. I have things to do.
The hat. Excellent. Thank you.
This is the most serious panel that you'll be attending all weekend long.
We're ending.
I guarantee you won't want to attend another panel after this.
I'm not drunk. I'm just losing my voice. Sue approves, so I am a little drunk.
Cheers.
You have a koozie? Oh my God, is it a Bucky's koozie?
It is a Bucky's koozie. I came on brand.
It works. It
Before
works.
She starts crying while drinking.
All right, well, the doors
I'm not going to cry. This panel's fun.
Doors are closing.
Much like the Sept of Baelor, the doors are closed.
Yeah, you guys are locked in here now. So.
And we're about to detonate some wildfire.
There's cakes. One open door, but we're going to pretend it's not.
It's not. Oh, wait.
What?
I found a sticker. Oh, never mind. Everything in my bag just fell out.
Smooth sailing. Hey, it's 4:30.
Somewhere.
Hi.
Hi, everyone. Con of Thrones 2019. Let's give it up for a moment for that.
Yeah.
How many of you, was this your first con?
Hey.
Wow.
That's so many people.
Excellent.
That means that that you all weren't here for Con of Thrones 2017.
That's true.
In which, those are facts, that was like, I think one of the very first panels I ever did for Con of Thrones was Crackpot Corner. I did not come up with that title, but, you know, it was a great one. Yeah. Sue titled it A+, in which we talked about, like, all of, like, the tinfoiliest of tinfoil theories, so we're going to get into it. But
And then you recruited me and Michael on brand.
On brand. my name is Kim Renfro. I am a correspondent for Insider and the author of the unofficial guide to Game of Thrones, which is coming out later this year. Fellas. And Sam. Let's start with Sam.
Yeah.
not you guys.
Hi, guys. I'm Sam. I'm a full-time student in clinical mental health counseling, so typically very serious, but also not at all. I have a podcast called Cry Wolf where I talk about my feelings because you've all probably seen me cry at least once at this con.
Happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Happens.
Yeah, for sure. I am Michael, also known as Bookshelf Stud. I am one of the moderators for the Song of Ice and Fire subreddit and also one of the hosts of the Maester Monthly podcast.
And I'm Matt, also known as Joe Magician. Same thing as Michael, plus a YouTube channel, youtube.com/JoeMagician.
So
crib off me. Like.
Also, I guess, Watchers on the Wall, too. I should mention that.
Yeah.
So
we are here to talk about the life and death of all the fan theories for Game of Thrones, because now it's over, and so all of the crackpotitude is put to bed.
That's right.
Swear to God.
So,
if one more person is like, Danny's actually alive because they flew her to Valantis.
We're here to put them to sleep, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
Well, and actually, we should mention that we're going to talk for a little while, and then we're going to open it up, right?
Yeah. So we're going to go through some of like our favorite theories, some of our favorite terrible theories that were just fun, some of our most hated theories that were bad and wrong and almost broke my soul. And then towards the end, we'll open it up and you guys can feel free to pitch us your fan theories and we'll tell you why they're bad.
Yeah.
Or my great, favorite. If you really want to surprise us.
But hopefully bad, because those are the ones that tickle us the most.
Love the bad ones. Mm-hmm. So I think to start out, it would be fun to talk about like why Game of Thrones was such a theory-heavy TV show, like why the fandom got so into theorizing. For me, I think that it really hit a tipping point when the show overtook the books. I think theorizing was always a big part of the A Song of Ice and Fire community because George R. R. Martin layers in so much foreshadowing and like really great threads or red herrings or things that we can debate about all the time. But the second that the show overtook the books, the theorizing like reached a different new heights.
Fever pitch.
A fever pitch. because I think everyone was like really excited about the idea of like maybe figuring out how it was going to end before the show showed us how it would end.
Definitely.
What do you guys think?
Yeah, it also feels really good to be right.
So good.
That's my favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was still a lot of opportunity. It was particularly with seasons 5 and 6, right as things were starting to catch up, for some people's fan theories about the books to be proved right, and then mm-hmm. to develop those further and like guess the show. So yeah, that was a golden age.
Definitely, and also the fact that for an adaptation, the books weren't finished, mm-hmm. so there yep. was tons of room. You had like fan communities going back like 15, 20 years, forums that nobody reads anymore, just full of crazy crackpot, and it just kind of they fed into each other in a really cool way.
Yeah, I think absolutely the point about, like, some people did guess things correctly, which was really awesome. Like, the fact that somebody went up to George R. R. Martin at a convention and was like, does Hodor mean hold the door? Or, like, something to that effect, like, years ago. And then that was actually true. Like, it made it so that people were, yeah, again, excited about the possibility that they could get something, like, right on the nose.
Yeah.
I also think that David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, the writers, they were definitely intentionally trolling fans throughout the show on, like, whether or not they were going to make a fan theory come to life on the show that was either still very ambiguous in the books or just, like, flat out was never going to happen. But we can get into some of those.
I think there was a story a long time ago that one of them appeared in an interview with an RLJ thing on a polo
on
shirt.
A polo, yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. The trolliest of trolls.
Mm-hmm. Well, that kind of feels good, too, right? Deception. For D&D to be like,
I love being lied to. It's the best. But I want to talk about some of our favorite tinfoil theories. Yeah. And first, I would like for these guys are tinfoil experts. But for anyone in the room who doesn't know what tinfoil is, how do you define tinfoil?
Yeah, tinfoil is, of course, coming from tinfoil hat, conspiracy theory related thinking. So tinfoil itself has become like a catch-all term for any theory that requires that sort of, like, you are the kind of person who is wearing a tinfoil hat because you believe the government's controlling your brain with, like, radio waves or whatever. It requires that kind of level of crackpot investment,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, yeah.
So tinfoil, catch-all for that.
I generally think of tinfoil in terms of, like, the internal logic of the theory, where if it's building on itself or something else you wrote, usually at that point it's tinfoil. If you're just taking, like, one step from the books and just sort of making an educated mm-hmm. guess, that's usually a pretty well-established theory or analysis. Once you start, like, referencing your own posts 5 years ago, then you start getting in trouble.
You're like, well, this one guy said that this might happen, and it's just you.
The amount of Reddit posts that start with "assuming my other theory is correct" is off the charts.
You know what they say about assuming. So yeah, tinfoil for me got really fun because there were ways in which people would write like a tinfoil theory that was like a meta commentary on the way that people would theory craft. And that's why my favorite is D+D=T.
Oh, mine too.
How many people know what D+D=T in this room?
Oh, you all are
ready.
Everyone is in for a treat.
It's so exciting. We talked about it a little bit at the Maester Monthly live panel, and we got to, like, educate people on this, and so I'm so glad we get to keep, like, continuing the education process.
We truly should be getting paid to educate people. D+D=T.
Yeah.
So D+D... No.
No, we're just happy to be here, Jenny.
I'm just that big of a nerd. No, so D+D=T is...
For money, don't.
So then, the amazing con.
Yeah.
The lights.
So that you can be here right now. So be thankful.
Okay, D+D=T is obviously a riff on R+L=T, like the title of R+L=J, which is Rhaegar plus Lyanna equals Jon. D+D=T is Daenerys plus Drogo equals Tyrion.
Obviously.
Think about it.
Just think
Correct
for a second.
Take a moment. Take a look around.
Just internalize for a second what this might mean, and I guarantee you are not going to guess.
But here we go.
How this is possible.
It's, yeah, I mean, it does involve a little bit of, like, warps in the space-time.
Yeah. Normal shit.
Attach.
Basically, the bullet point version, right, is that Daenerys and Drogo conceive a child.
Which happens.
That does happen.
We're starting from facts, people.
That's a fact.
Step one of tinfoil.
Step one of tinfoil. Establish the facts.
Exactly. Mary Mazdour does some weird magic stuff again.
Fact.
That weird magic stuff involves sending the unborn fetus back to Joanna Lannister 23 years earlier.
Potential fact.
That's what we like to call
it. And we've hit the slippery slope, everybody.
And that, Tyrion is then the son of Drogo and Daenerys.
The fetus that was inside Daenerys got time traveled back into Joanna Lannister's womb.
Look, it was promised.
I'd like to point out the amount of people in the audience going like, "What?
What the hell?"
Also, this is also known as Tyrion is a time traveling fetus.
So you
can explain that to your friends however you feel like.
I hope you guys thought you were getting really deep material as the last panel of your con.
But like, D plus T equals T to me. So it started out as a Reddit post on the A Song, Rice, and Fire subreddit.
You're welcome.
I am so grateful for that in my life. And it was like long. Like, talk about
real
wall
long.
Of text long. Like, did it continue in the comments, possibly?
The comments were just like,
it got expanded upon in the comments. But it was like, this person just thought out like every single like logical part of it, and like there is weird magic shit in A Song of Ice and Fire, and so like they basically like used every loophole possible to like make a case for Tyrion possibly being a time traveling fetus, and like I like saw the title and was like, what? And then I got to the end and I was like,
I was supposed to like to point out this was wildly popular.
Yeah. Like,
people
one
write
of the
very
all-time
good analysis,
high,
good
yeah.
theories,
I
and then
look it up,
time
it's also
traveling fetus.
The reason that we on the subreddit created the Alchemist Award for our best ofs, which is the award for the post that makes you want to set yourself on fire the most. So this is like it's part of the canon. It's part of the legendarium.
Was this also when the term grade A tinfoil was created?
This is Valyrian steel tinfoil. That's what it is.
Yeah, team plus team, best of 2015.
I love the title too. Can you read it out?
The title was just obviously like spoilers all in parentheses. D plus D equals T, a never before seen theory.
Correct.
Boy, were they right.
Yep.
Now, love it.
Now, there have been like a lot of insane tinfoil theories.
Yeah.
That one's relatively recent in the history of like Song of Ice and Fire.
Yeah.
Because it's after the show started.
What are like the OG tinfoils?
Well, one that's been around for, as far as I know, a long time. Someone might correct me on the panel, but the Varys is a Merling.
Oh, that's an old one. Yeah.
Merman. No, I know they said Merling, but just make Zoolander references whenever possible.
Mostly because of, I think, the line where he says the big fish eat the little fish, and I keep on paddling.
Swimming or something.
Keep on swimming.
Michael, you were underselling it. There is a 28-point list of bulleted notes proving this.
That's true.
We never see his legs.
Fact. We do actually.
We saw his legs. Damn it.
I was angry because in Belfast right now, there's like Game of Thrones touring thing.
Oh, yeah, the like exhibition thing.
Yeah, and they show that there are pants under his.
Boo.
I'm angry about it for the rest of my life.
What if it was just like a long skirt under his coat?
Yep. Maybe he has double fins.
It would have been better.
Keep the mystery alive.
Yeah.
What if he's an anamorph?
Wow.
I'm awaiting your 30-minute long video about anamorphs in Westeros.
It's the crossover we need.
Subscribers only.
Yeah. What are some of the other ones that you guys like?
that we love.
Or hate.
My favorite one that's not on this list.
Way to shade my outline.
It's not good enough for your outline. It was something that got approved and then removed out of shame by the mod team. We call it Volcano Deck.
Oh my god.
Whoa, excuse me?
This is a scloosie.
A scloosie?
We don't talk about these very often.
Give me this hot.
Lay it on us, lay it on
info.
So. Volcano Deck. By the way, two mods right here cracking up.
Shout out to Songrise Fire. So
Jen Snow and Walwood. So Volcano Deck starts off with the idea with Victorian's hand.
Oh, wait, are you saying dick?
I am saying dick.
Yeah.
Oh.
What did you hear?
I heard Volcano Deck, and
deck?
I was like,
oh. Yeah, like a contractor would build?
Yeah.
For a volcano.
No, that would be more appropriate.
I was still intrigued. Okay, now I'm more intrigued. Continue.
So a lot of people think when Victarion comes back to life or whatever happened with Makoro, his hand kind of just like starts smoking like magma. And this person theorized
magma.
That there is a method for Theon to get his manhood back. And that is Volcano Dick.
It's pretty much that. Yeah, that's the post.
That was the gist of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
We even in our Slack channel we imported a new image of just a volcano just for that.
Is there a Lord of the Rings crossover with?
Throw it into the fires.
Oh man.
The volcano dick that was promised.
You'll get your manhood back, Theon Greyjoy.
And actually, I can take blame for that one being up on the subreddit. I thought it was funny.
It is
no
funny.
No silly posts, Matt.
No silly posts.
No silly posts.
Deleted.
Unless it's D+D equals D.
Unless I'm modding,
then it's okay. This is a very serious panel.
It is.
Yeah.
It's true.
That's right.
I think what, like, early on became one of the most, like, contentious, like, tinfoil adjacent theories was Cleganebowl.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, that was one where it was, like, two separate theories. So it was, like, the Valonqar prophecy and, like, who is the little brother merged with the Gravedigger theory.
Right.
So I don't know, for people who haven't read the books, there's a prophecy in the books, Cersei's prophecy that they do show in the show. They cut that short because in the books there's like one additional line where Maggie the Witch Frog.
Canon now.
You know, we are so close to the end of this day.
You're doing amazing, sweetie.
Thanks. What the hell was I saying? Oh, Valonqar. Basically, the prophecy is that the Valonqar is going to choke the life out of her and kill her. And Valonqar means little brother in High Valyrian, which I'm pretty sure that we have confirmed that that's not one of the like gender-neutral words, like the way that the whole prince or princess was promised thing. Yeah. Valonqar is definitely little brother. So people were theorizing about who the little brother was. Cersei herself assumes it's Tyrion, which was like our first sign that it wasn't, because like George likes...
When has Cersei ever been right?
Like literally anything. Yeah. So people were trying to guess. So someone came up with the theory that her trial by combat that she was going to demand, because in the books this is still kind of like a cliffhanger with what she's going to do. The show just like dismissed trial by combat because, again, Benioff and Weiss love to troll us. People thought that obviously she's going to name the Mountain as her champion, and then the Faith would have to pick a champion. And then we get to the Gravedigger theory, which was that, again, in the books, this is kind of like left unresolved. When Arya leaves the Hound, a lot of people thought that he might still be alive because Brienne of Tarth goes and visits this kind of like monastery.
The Quiet Isle.
The Quiet Isle, for lack of a better word, monastery. I don't know, whatever, whatever they call it. And she sees a very large man who's digging graves there, and the Hound's horse is like in the stables. Yep. And so people just kind of like connected the dots and think that the Hound did survive. So those two theories got combined, in which people thought that the Hound would be the person nominated to be the Faith's champion for Cersei's trial by combat. And then if the Hound won and Cersei was executed as a result, he would be like indirectly responsible for her death.
The little brother.
The little brother, because he's
responsible for her death.
The Mountain's little brother. Ba-da-da-da.
Yeah.
sorry, the least hype thing I've ever done. It started on 4chan. Someone put together those two theories, and then they named it Cleganebowl, because that was the year that the NFL championship, the fucking Super Bowl.
You know,
that
one
thing.
Bowl.
The bowl. That was the year that the two coaches of the competing teams in the Super Bowl were brothers, Jim and John.
Whoa, Harbaugh? I did not know this.
Yeah.
I'm learning things today.
So the coaches were brothers, and their last name was Harbaugh, and so the Harbowl became what people were calling the Super Bowl that year, and so this was the year that Cleganebowl was born, and so they nicknamed it Cleganebowl because it would be Clegane versus Clegane.
Yeah.
And it really spiraled.
Educated.
I know more about sports than I've ever known now. I'm
great.
A fucking nerd.
It spiraled out of control from there, I think.
There were like hype videos made with like strobing like Comic Sans text and like
playing.
The air horns. Like this is where like the whole like air horn association came, and it was like dubstep adjacent. But I watched these videos like on loop if I was ever having a bad day. They were like my favorite thing in the world.
Wasn't there an image with a train with Sandor's face
the
on the
hype train
of it? Yeah.
All aboard.
Yeah. All aboard the
All
hype
aboard
train.
The train.
And so this was something that was happening before Sandor Clegane in the show had even been like killed, quote unquote.
And so
Benioff and Weiss very clearly knew, like, were aware of this theory and started like sewing in their own kind of take on it. And it's still very much up in the air whether or not this would ever happen in the books. A lot of people doubt it because, like, Sandra Clegane's story feels complete to a lot of people if, like, he just, like, lives out his days on the Quiet Isle and is, like, a seemingly, like, slightly reformed man or whatnot. So bringing him, like, back into the fold of the story for, like, more violence and gore was, like, not what a lot of book readers wanted. Benioff and Weiss were all in on the Clegane Bowl.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. We actually got a theory that had been around, like you said, for quite a while.
Into the show canon.
Confirmed, yeah. In the very second to last episode.
Yeah.
We get our Clegane Bowl.
Yeah. And it was kind of weird because by the time that it was happening, I was like, yeah. I was like, of course this is happening. Like, I had spent years, like, being on the hype train, and then it was like the hype train just kind of, like,
crashed.
Yeah. Roll. No, it just, like, rolled into town. It didn't, like, barrel into town. It was just, nah. Like...
Was it like Cersei running past Clegane?
Yes.
Well,
shuffle step.
We know there's a low bar for me being entertained, but I was all in.
It's
beautiful, and I love Sandor. And...
Oh, I liked it. Yeah. I just was surprised that I think, like, I had spent so much, like, there had been so much buildup, and, like, Benioff and Weiss started making it, like, more and more obvious that it was going to happen.
Yeah.
And, like, with the trolls, like, in season 6, they really started fucking with people's heads when they were, like, Cersei's demanding a trial by combat, and then Jaime literally is like, that's one trial by combat I'd like to see. Yeah, okay.
Oh, it's going down.
And then, like, the next episode, Tommen outlawed trial by combat, and I was like, what is happening?
It kind of felt like a wrestling plot at that point.
Right.
It's like they just kept, like meeting each other backstage, and the hype was building,
right.
Insulting each
other.
The,
like, you know
other.
What's coming for you,
the
brother.
The dragon pit where he goes, like, yeah, hey, man, I'm coming for you.
So.
Ticket pays for the whole seat, but you only need the edge.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, again, like we kind of, like, mentioned at the start of the panel, I think the fact that Benioff and Weiss were very obviously, like, leaning into the fan service-iness of, like, making some theories come true on the show just added to the culture and, like, the, like, ramping up of people trying to put theories out there, because they're like, oh, if we, like, make this one popular enough, like, Benioff and Weiss could actually put it in the show. Because they did. Like, that's literally what they did. And so, yeah, there were some others that people had kind of, like, just really latched onto, but...
I mean, the biggest one that was a theory that then... I mean, this is hardly even tinfoil that turned out to be true, of course, is R plus L equals J.
Yeah, that's not even...
Yeah.
That had been around since the first book came out.
Yeah, like 96, 97,
yeah,
it was
like
on forums.
The ancient forums that you have to, you know, pray to the internet gods to revive. There's, you know, some user like XX Blood Jamie XX who's like, hey, I think Rhaegar and Lyanna might be Jon Snow.
And then everyone called them crackpot. I'm like,
yeah,
what are you doing, man?
That's,
that can't be true.
Exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's wild that R plus L equals J was, like, considered fact, basically, by the time that the show started. And so then throughout the entire run of the show, people were, like, constantly on a lookout because we didn't know that Benioff and Weiss knew the ending until around season 3 or 4. I think that they had that big, like, sit-down meeting to talk about George's plan between the airing of season 3 and, like, the production of season 4, I think. But we're just crafting over here. Don't worry about
there's
it.
There's arts and crafts happening on the
arts
stage.
And crafts.
Don't worry about it.
But what we did know, because they had told this story a lot, was that Benioff and Weiss, when they first met George R. R. Martin and they sat down for a lunch with him that turned into a dinner because their meeting went on for so long, they called it kind of like a Wonka test. Like, George kind of caught them off guard and just was like, who do you think Jon Snow's mother is? And only the first 4 books were out at this point, but Benioff and Weiss had obviously read them, I think, multiple times, and, like, they had just happened to talk about it amongst themselves. And so while they were, like, doing all, like, the promo for the show, they told the story, and they said that they gave him an answer, and that the answer seemed to be correct, but we didn't know what name they had dropped. So everyone was like, okay, Benioff and Weiss know who the mother is. It's probably Lyanna. So people were, like, on alert for Benioff and Weiss to put in their own nods to the fact that Jon's parents were probably Rhaegar. And they did. Like, literally in the very first or the second episode is when Ned and John have their goodbye scene. And that was, Benioff and Weiss invented the dialogue for that scene, and they specifically have Ned, like, call him, say, "You have my blood," but he didn't say, like, "You want my
son."
You're my son.
That's right. Yeah.
So
they also cut most of the other possibilities, basically, from the show. Ashara Dane basically doesn't exist in the show. Brandon Stark gets very little screen time. Who are the other ones? The washer, no, the fisherman's
I
daughter.
I know, I like it, too.
Yeah.
Oh, the cheering.
What? Yeah, the cheering for me. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Wyla is mentioned, but only in the context of Robert being like, "Oh, who's that girl?"
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
They kind of nailed it down for us, like, tiny. You got it.
Yeah, totally. And then, so yeah, again, this, like, the fact that Benioff and Weiss were, like, making their own additions to the show just, like, helped fan theory spiral out of control. But those were some good ones.
There's actually, to transition into some bad theories, and I'll say bad.
They are bad.
They are bad.
They are bad and wrong, and I lost years of my life because of them.
Legitimately offense intended, if you believe these.
So one in particular, speaking of, like, the ancient theories, is a theory, again, from, like, the old forums, that John and Catelyn were going to end up together.
What? Oh. I've never heard of this either.
Yep.
Yeah. This is a real theory that people had before Cat died, obviously. This is before book three came out. Might have been before book two as well. I don't remember exactly.
I don't want
but,
it.
But yeah, it was basically someone reading into like a whole weird Oedipal kind of thing.
Ugh.
But anyway, obviously didn't come true because Cat's dead.
Wait, not yet.
Oh wait. Now hold on. Yeah,
Kat is so much more similar to Qyburn than I thought she
they're
was.
They're both Firewhites.
That's right. Is it? Yeah.
It's like a Firewhite romance.
Aww.
Fanfic.
Is that the true song of Ice and Fire?
Yeah, you're welcome.
So some really
can't
awful,
unhear that.
Awful, awful fan theories.
Yeah. Well, I think that there was also, like, as someone who wrote about the show, and honestly, when I first, very quick backstory on myself. I got my job writing about Game of Thrones because I happened to be working at a media company as an office assistant, and I started talking with one of the guys who, like, was an editor for the site about Game of Thrones one day, and he was like, "Why do you know so much about this show?" And the answer was the answer was, like, the A Song of Ice and Fire subreddit. Like, it's because I, like, finished the books. My hand's in my pocket. I was gesturing to both of you. But I was, like, aware of all of, like, these, like, incredible theories and these analyses that people have been doing, and they didn't have anyone on staff who, like, understood that, like, link between the books and the show. And so a lot of my early articles were, like, telling show watchers who, like, hadn't read the books how some theories might come true, or, like, how the show seemed to be, like, leaning towards whatever, whatever. But I think, like, it's weird for me to be, like, a person who did that, and then I feel like I contributed to, like, making this, like, trend happen where, like, a lot of sites would just write up fan theories because they were popular, readers really loved them, you would get the clicks, and therefore your company would make money. Yay, everybody's happy. But, like, I think that a lot of people who were writing up these theories at other sites weren't people who had spent years on Reddit and didn't know the difference between, like, a quality theory post and a not quality theory post. And so it would be like, "Oh, this has, like, 100 upvotes and, like, 96 comments for some reason. This must be good." And I'm like, "No, that's a terrible sign." Like, that's a bad ratio. Yeah. Like, that doesn't mean that this is a that's good true. Theory. Yeah. But, like, the number of times I would, like, see an article that was, like, I don't know, like, is Mira Reed and Jon Snow are, like, twins.
Of course. Yes, they are. Yeah.
Separated at birth. And I was like, yeah, no. But, like, and it's fine to, I totally think it's obviously fine to write about fan theories because I did it. But, like, I think that there was, like, a responsible way to do it that started going to the wayside in which, like, some people would just, like, summarize a Reddit post and give no other context or not, like, explain why that might not be true. They would just, like, toss the bananas headline on it and be like,
particularly, I think, during the show season, like, week by week, right? Like, the market for just what's going to happen next week. Like, there was a successful fan theory in one of the season 6 trailers where they, like saw a silhouette of an ear, right, in a trailer, and it was Redditors who took the still frame and compared it to Jerome Flynn's ear, and they're like, oh, it's Braun grabbing Podrick from behind. And sure enough, it was Braun, just by the shape of the ear.
Yeah.
So, you know, there was some meat on the bone
there, of course.
But not much.
But then it goes the other way, and we have the infamous Cereal Pharrell.
Yes. Oh, my God.
The hunt
poor
for cereal.
Miltos.
Yeah, which, so, I mean, obviously, like, cereal is still alive has been, like, a theory that people have had for ages, because, again, it's, like, an ambiguous death in the books. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys have heard Miltos talk at any panels this weekend, but he has been shutting that down left and right.
He's
like, George R. Martin's wife told me, like, my character is dead. So, R.I.P. that
God
theory.
It's finally over, so he can be like, I've been hella dead the whole time.
Hella dead.
Stop asking me.
So, yeah. So, what happened in season 6 was, like, HBO always put out, like, the teaser photos, like, the official images from the upcoming episode, and there was, like, a shot of the waif. It was, like, when the waif was chasing Arya in Braavos, and there was, like, a shot of her, and there was, like, a shadow, like, a silhouetted person, like, a little bit fuzzy out of focus.
In the crowd, too. Like, there's a bunch of people, so
yeah.
It's not, like, a
just
one
person.
Conspicuous figure.
And people, there's, like, an MS Paint, basically, like, version of, like, someone, like, outlined the hair,
yeah,
and, like, the shape of the shoulders, and they were like, oh, it's definitely Cereal Pharrell.
That distinctive flow.
Yeah, the afro.
Well, do you remember even when they were in the courts in Winterfell, and there was, like, an extra in the background that they were like, it's Lady Stoneheart.
100%. Yes. Just, like, one
it's
person walks past in frame. And but, like,
just
again,
like
the fact that some people had been right about some things, like, left open the possibility and, like, for people to just, like, run wild with other theories. But it was like, well, he's Braavosi, so, like, yes, they're wearing the same shaped outfit because they're from the same place.
Right. It was, yeah, Braavosi extra number 4.
Yeah.
So, in general, if you come across a theory and there's a picture with any kind of red line in it or arrows.
Hey, I
run
do
away.
That all the time.
Run away.
All the
Miltos
time.
Miltos literally just texted me to say goodbye.
Oh, Miltos.
It's like Cereal is saying goodbye to
I know,
us.
Let's give him a moment.
Do you think he's dead?
Is he here?
Cereal? But season 6, I think the, like, is Cereal Pharrell. And then, like, that entire subplot of Braavos had, like, all of these bananas theories going on. Like, people thought that the waif, or that Jaqen had taken Arya's face and was, like, actually just testing the waif, and so that, like, when the waif violently killed Arya when she was supposed to, like, not hurt, like, not make her suffer too much, like, that was, like, a test against the waif. I think that, again, once the show overtook the books and a little bit of, like, the internal logic of events started to, like, break down, like, it just wasn't their priority in the later seasons. Like, they didn't need to tell you how long it took a raven to fly somewhere or, like, whatever. But what that did was it made people were trying to, like, fill in the blanks, or they were trying to explain why a plot was happening when the truth was just, like, it wasn't thought out super well, guys. Like, Arya got stabbed in the gut and jumped into sewage water and took a nap, and she's fine.
She hit the save point.
Yeah. Okay.
Which,
we're
like,
good.
But I think, like, people, like, started making all these theories around that to, like, try and, like, over-explain that storyline when there wasn't an explanation. It was just, that was just what happened. But, like, the week to week of that got, like, really intense because people were trying to find a reason to explain her entire subplot.
Especially when you have a subplot that involves people who can switch faces and stuff. I mean,
yeah.
It's so ripe for, like we were saying, that season 5, season 6 transition was really, like, a high watermark for just nuts content. Just
well, I also
bonkers.
Think that we have streaming platforms now, right? So we get to watch things. We get to binge them and kind of get it over with. Game of Thrones is one of the last shows that we're all watching at the same time, and we have to wait a week in between them.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do for that entire week when we, like, really want to know what happens? Letting our wild minds just, like, wander.
Yeah. Why not?
Just getting some popcorn, browsing Reddit, like, wow.
Yeah.
That's what people think, huh?
Yeah. I think it's finally time.
Yeah, is it?
It's time.
Is it?
It's not.
It's not time. Oh, my God. It's not time?
We've
got, like, maybe 5 minutes until it's time.
There,
all right.
There is another one here about Longclaw.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
You want me to? Yeah. So and correct me if I'm wrong, but this was the Beyond the Wall episode,
yep.
Where John, you know, in very heavy furs, falls into like icy water and dies because that's he swims back up, and for a moment there's a shot of Longclaw lying on the ice, and some, again, probably Redditors, swore that the eyes of Longclaw turn white for like a half second just before John emerges. And that somehow this was John or Bran...
Bran warging into Longclaw.
Oh, yeah. To pull John up from the ice?
I think people thought that Bran warged into Longclaw right. And therefore saw that John was in trouble and sent Benjen to save him.
A nightmare.
Oh.
Was like okay, the train of yeah, thought. Yeah, because, yeah. again, uh-huh. Benjen popping in out of nowhere and then, like, immediately dying because... Two people definitely couldn't fit on that horse.
Yeah, but the horse would have run slower with the bull.
That's true.
That.
Yeah.
Now, if Gendry could have carried them on his back.
True. True.
He's so strong.
True. But so, like, it was, like, once again, like, that episode was one of the ones that, like, had all of these kind of, like, internal logic nitpicks that people were making. Yeah. And so, like, people started thinking that, like, Longclaw was warged into. I was very grateful that this was an episode where I got to interview the director after it aired, and so that was my last question for him. I was like, hey, this is gonna sound bananas, but like, did John's sword blink?
Right, yeah.
And he was just like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And what, like, we, like, me and him kind of like workshopped what we think happened, because you can see like the color of Longclaw's eyes adjust. What I think happened, and Alan Taylor, who was the director, agreed with me, is that like that whole set was supposed to be like very like frosty and cold. So we think that like the sword was just like frosted over a little bit, and then when John's like hand pops out, he like splashed water on the sword basically, and like it like changed like the sheen of the eye.
It just condensation, really.
Yeah. But that, like, I was, like, I don't often get to, like, decisively shut down theories, and it was so satisfying. Like, within 36 hours, I was like, no. I was like, it's not true. The director said it's not true. Everybody stop talking about this now.
It was fun being friends with you during it, too, because I would be like, this is dumb.
It's like, so dumb.
But also, I love it.
Yeah.
Also, we might be ready. I sincerely hope I did this right.
We're about to find
out. It's been a long day.
So
there's a reason that we're all here today, and it is to celebrate the king of all bad theories, the worst of them. So we need you to know, Bran was not the fucking Night King.
Praise be!
Never was, never will be. I never have to wake up in a cold sweat ever again. Terrified that Bran was the fucking Night King. It's not true. Kiss my ass.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's like Christmas.
Can we actually like hang it on the front?
We're gonna need a hand with that.
Right. That
app is. It's
app is
that.
Water.
Where's that? Yeah. I got it. Okay, it's loose. It's in the room. Y'all in front can correct
it. Gonna hold it.
She got it. Yep.
I need to work on my arm.
To the cups.
Yep. So Bran was not the Night King.
Not the fucking Night King.
Yeah. What?
That's
Kim. What are you saying?
Not the Night King. Stop. Please.
He wasn't. Never talk about it again. Please, Lord, help me. He was not the Night King, and we are all blessed for it.
It's one of those theories that, I mean, we mentioned the Jon and Mira theory, which really just rested on the fact that the actors have similar hair.
Curly hair.
Yeah,
curly hair. That's it. That was it.
So rare, guys.
Yeah.
You know, nobody in the North has curly, dark hair.
I love all of these photos being taken.
Yeah.
Can we cheers to this really quick?
Ta-da.
Can we, on three, all say, I want the... I need to do this.
Oh, yeah.
Let's... Instagram.
I need to do this.
Because it feels... They know that I, at one point, I'm not exaggerating, woke up in a cold sweat because I had a dream that Bran was the Night King. And I was like, I was ready to die on this hill. And here we are. So can we all on three say Bran was not the Night King? Are we ready? One, two, three.
Bran was not the Night King.
Thank fucking
Thank you,
God.
Yay.
Yeah.
But yeah, this theory, much like the John and Mira theory, really rested on the nose similarities, I think.
That was it.
Yeah. Nose and like the brooch that the Night King
That's
wore.
Right. Yeah.
Like there was like there were like costume similarities, and again, this was a case of like we didn't have a ton of information about the Night King, which then opened it up to the possibility of like people filling in the blanks. And so like people thought that like, oh, we're gonna get the Night King's backstory and it's gonna actually be Bran because of all of his like warging powers. And
that's true.
They like obviously have a connection, but I like this one, I don't like this one, just like got so out of control.
It was unhinged.
Yeah, I it's I know a bunch of other people in the fandom as well were like doing different media things before season 8 came out. And this one radio show wanted someone from Maester Monthly, so I was talking to them, and they were like, hey, there's this really good fan theory, and I was wondering if we could get your opinion on it. Like, do you think Bran's the Night King? And it was so hard to just be like, you know, I don't put a lot of credence in that.
Yeah. Someone also asked me that on, like, a live video interview, and my face,
face
I was just
so
like,
oh, yes, good.
The face of Kim.
I was just like...
I have the same.
It is literally
my,
looks
like nostrils
that.
Flared, like, instantly, because I was just like, God damn it, why are we talking about this?
It's very much like the meme image of, like, the kid whose veins are bulging.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Petra has a question, I think, about Brandon.
Yeah, I'm, like,
the
I'm like squinting one eye at
Can
them,
Can we get
too.
You to recreate this, Kim?
I'm just going...
Petra.
Yeah, Petra.
Excuse me.
Is not Petra has an important question.
Is there a reason why this theory inspires so much anger?
Oh my God! I well,
think,
I,
yeah.
Sam, please.
I crafted on this for so long. I have a lot of feelings. I worked really hard on
That's
this.
True.
I think that it was just so. There weren't any real like okay. I love a bad theory so much. I love bad things. I'm a sweet trash angel. And there was really no, like, fact. There was no basis. There was nothing to go off of. It was, like, the most, like, Stretch Armstrong reach there could possibly be, where people were just like, I'm trying to fuck shit up, and I think that Bran is the Night King. And that, like, my mom asked me if that was a thing, and friends of mine who, like, weren't intense watchers would be like, my best friend at one point, who bless her heart was like a casual watcher, was like, I'm at a bar talking about how Bran is the Night King with these people, and they're like really convincing me, and I was like, they're bad and wrong.
Run.
But remember,
well, it was also it was just like, yeah, like you said, like with like regards to like hard evidence, like obviously there were like these like contextual things that people were putting side by side, but it bothered me because like that's not how time travel works in the show. Like
it's science.
Like, well, right, like, the show is, like, established, and, like, again, it was, like, Benioff and Weiss were being so vague about how Bran's powers worked that, like, it was tough to rebut because people were, like, people had convinced themselves that, like, his powers had worked in a certain way, but I was, like, we don't know that, but, like, it's also, for me, the theory question, I was, like, if a good or bad theory to me rests on, like, the why of it all. So, like, okay, you think Bran is the Night King, like, why? Like, why does that affect, how does that affect his story? Like, what would it mean for his entire arc? And, like, people never had a really good answer to that. They just thought it would be cool. And I was like,
I think you describe why tinfoil exists, because I think it's cool.
Yeah.
Well,
which I'm into.
Yeah, like,
but it's a nightmare.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, it was, personally, it felt like it was the ultimate form of, like, not getting the show. Like, to watch the show and come away with the conclusion that Bran could be the Night King, it felt like, oh, come on, have we even been watching, like,
the same show?
Like, well, how are you coming to these conclusions when we both like this thing so much? So I think that's why it bothered me anyway. It was like,
right.
Whoa, hold up. Where are you coming from?
The like, basis of it was that people thought that Bran was going to try and stop the Night King from ever being created and, like, accidentally get himself stuck in the body of the man who was, like, getting the dagger stuck in his thing.
But then only his nose changes.
Only his nose changes. But also, like, and again, this was...
2019, baby.
Yeah, like, it was... A lot of it was based on the Hodor reveal.
Right.
And so, like, we saw that, like, Bran accidentally, like, fuck shit up when he tried to war to like when he was like doing his green seeing stuff one time. But I like for me, I was like the entire point of that scene for Bran was like a lesson to him to not mess with his powers and to not like overstep things because then tragedy happens. And so I was like, why would they do that and then have him decide to try one more time or like do something again and then have it again go terribly wrong. Like, it didn't make sense for like his arc.
It's a very different kind of story.
Yeah,
but Kim, when the Night King and Viserion took the wall down, the whites were obviously in the formation of a direwolf head. So obviously, Bran is the Night King.
That one's true.
That was a good one.
That's legit.
Okay,
sorry.
I can't talk shit about the people who thought that the whites were in the form of a Starkhead, because my biggest goof that I ever did was in the fucking scene with Jon petting Drogon for the first time. There's like a shot of like his eye, and again, HBO always like sends out like a set of official images that media people are allowed to use. And when they sent the images, they're usually like set photographs. So like the woman, the main set photographer Helen Sloan was on set taking pictures. It was like more rare for them to send just like a screenshot from the episode. But for some reason, they sent the screenshot of like Drogon's face and like his eyes, and I was like, what's going on here? And I like looked really closely at it, and I thought that I saw like a direwolf head like in like the pupil of his eye. And I fucking put it in one of my articles as like, is this a thing? And then I feel so much shame about that.
I didn't know that you did that.
I did that.
I think the lesson of that, though, is that we have all at one point done something extremely like stupid.
Wait,
which definitely.
Are there any bad theories that you guys actually bought into and thought were real?
Yes. Matt, can you fess up real quick?
I've told the story a few times. My first theory I ever wrote on Reddit, because I thought it was so great. All these people were writing awesome theories. I can add to it. I didn't. Instead, I wrote a theory about how Arthur Dayne survived the Tower of Joy and then went on to become like a hermit like Obi-Wan in the mountains of Dorne. That was it.
Really
it was
good stuff. Really good stuff.
Yeah. Real bad.
I've never written anything bad, but I assume it must feel that way.
He's
no,
perfect.
We do only have a couple minutes left, so should we...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, start, yes. Questions, like, please.
Yeah.
Also, it's the end of Con. What are they going to do? Kick us out? Sue? Can we be here for another...
Fan in the front.
Yes, that classic one.
And he became Mance Rayder. And I was, like, set on this, like, idea for years. And then I was just like...
wait, woke up one day.
Who programmed you? Who did this?
I love the self-awareness of it.
We all have to do a little internal reflection from time to time.
Yeah, for sure.
What are we doing?
In the black shirt over here.
So I just want to say that I spent more time than I really should have.
I love it already.
Yeah, that's a disappointing rabbit hole. Petra.
Go, Petra.
Yeah.
Bolt on!
Fly directly to the forehead. Yeah. For those not familiar, Bolton is the theory that there is only one male Bolton lord, and he's immortal, and cloaks himself in the skin of his heirs. And uses leeches to like keep the blood pure or something.
Again, because like there's weird shit going on with Bruce and his leeches in the books,
and he's a vampire.
But sometimes a leech is just a leech. Though.
But this is why I love tinfoil theories. That one rests almost entirely on eye color. That's it.
Right.
That's
right. They all have the same like
Ramsay and Bruce
eyes.
have this weird icy blue eye color, and they're like, I know what's going on here.
Yeah, it's called genetics.
It's not genetics, Kim. Oh, it's face-swapping vampires.
It's either genetics or ancient vampires.
Or vampires. Are they sparkly?
Yeah, there's no
Did you want to say something about Bolton, or you just wanted us to talk about it?
What I find so satisfying about it is that it implies that Ramsay is getting groomed to get laid.
Yeah.
That is a nice silver lining. Yeah.
More punishment. I like it.
All the punishment.
Aziz, I saw your hand, and I'm very curious.
I think that a new theory has been born. I think Joe or Matt here is a time traveling theorist. because that was also your theory that you cited as your first bad theory. It was also my first theory that I ever posted.
Aziz.
Oh my God.
Aww.
I didn't know we had this connection.
Kiss.
It's almost like you guys are. It's like he's the brand to your Night King or something.
I love it.
Wow.
Oh my God, the nose has changed too.
30-year con. We all love each other so much.
Yeah. Fan over here.
So, what do you draw the line like tinfoil? Like, what about
Jojen
Paste?
Jojen Paste!
Oh, that one's confirmed.
Jojen Paste!
Jojen Paste!
Oh, I didn't know.
Does anybody sell Jojen Paste? Can we buy this? Oh.
Contact me quietly after the con ends.
To me, Jojen Paste is like a theory that I think is still very much alive until the next book comes out.
Yeah, I think like things like Jojen, and honestly, even things like Bolton, although I'll qualify that in just a second, so don't jump on me. But things like that, like
jump on him.
Like they latch onto like a key thing. I think Jojen Paste, whether it's true or not, I think Jojen's gonna die and Bran's powers are gonna increase.
Oh yeah, Jojen Paste. For anyone who doesn't know, is that people think that Jojen dies. So like in the books, it's slightly different. Jojen and everyone's like kind of like underground, hanging at the tree, and people think that Jojen has died and was made into a paste that is being fed to Bran to nourish him.
The gals from Incorrect, A Song of Ice and Fire, also had a wheel. Like, they made a fake Jojen paste.
Delicious.
Did you try it, Sam?
But I think it like connects to something that is there in the story, whether it's as far as him turning into like gruel, maybe not. But like it's latching onto something that's there. In
the
some
ideas
sense.
Of cannibalism and Bran's story are so strong that it just kind of makes sense.
And even the Rhaegar and Mance Rayder thing. Mance Rayder's a father figure to Jon in a lot of ways. Rhaegar is literally his father, so there's definitely connections
there.
Doesn't mean he's literally Rhaegar, but it does mean that like there's
a reason why
element.
People are thinking about it.
There are actual hints, unlike Bran being the Night King.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fan right here.
So in regards to Bran, well, it turns out not being the Night King, but with the theory floating around the time that was really starting to emerge, I think it was the first year of Con, I came up with the outrageous idea that if Bran is the Night King, then it's totally plausible for Sansa to team up with the Night King. And I thought, I had the theory that she was going to team up and kick ass with the Night King. There's no proof, not even evidence to like be like, these are my reasons why I think this. It was just like, you know what? I'm going to go with an outrageous theory, and Sansa's going to team up with Night King and kick ass. And that was the end of it. That's just the statement.
When you say kick ass, do you mean like they're going to start throwing elbows? Okay. All right.
Well, and she.
I like the shoe thing.
Uppercuts. I think that was another reason why I like it. Like the brand of the Night King bothered me so much was because I was like, okay. Even if we suppose that Bran has gotten trapped in the body of this man, why is he now trying to destroy all of mankind?
Right. Why not team up with Sansa?
The true villain, of course.
Right.
Yeah. Wait, in the black shirt back here, he had a question as well. I saw you.
Night Queen, Night King.
Wait. We had another one back here. Yeah. I saw you.
Well, I did come over to this panel. I was talking to you two in the hallway.
Oh, I know.
I'm shaming me because I wasn't going to come, but here I am.
Thanks.
Thank you.
There was a mild shame.
I never shaming you.
We were encouraging you to come.
We were laughing
and have
you
not
had bookmarked three of the four panels for this hour, and it was ours was the one that was not bookmarked.
Sir, have you not been entertained?
It was a derogatory, a self-derogatory comment. Anyways, we are so out of time, but this has been a blast.
No, but I want to hear his question.
Oh.
I only had one theory that I really subscribed to, and that was that Littlefinger, when he died, was actually, it was the face, someone used his face.
No.
No.
It might be stashed away somewhere, I think, because why not? Yeah. I feel like it would be fun to put on Littlefinger's face and, like, do really silly things. Be like, I'm putting on Littlefinger's face and, like, wearing cool dresses and, like, being really nice to people.
Like giving money to orphans. Yeah, exactly. Right. Really rehabilitate his image. That could happen. Yeah.
Thank you guys so much.
All right,
honestly,
I wish this could have been 2 hours.
Everybody.
Thank you all. I hope you had an amazing weekend.
Seriously.
R.I.P. Con of Thrones 2019.
This is how we end it.
It lives forever.